total energy expended.
Do they use an automatic adjuster on that?
Let me help with that. Let me help with that. The horse that won the race had such outstanding total energy. Now, he's done this quite frequently. If he sees, he knows what happens when he uses the manual adjust. He penalizes the fastest horse. And just because there are 2 points of difference doesn't mean you automatically go manual. It's only when all the other horses belong. But this horse was such a standout over the rest, and it came out so well that he said, "Dad, should I use a manual adjust on this because there's more than 2 points?" I said, "Hey, if you do use it, go bet that horse that comes out on top. Make a bet. Go." You know, I wrote it down. Go bet $3 to win. Across the board on that one, it's $20 horse. And then ignore that horse and see how the others come out. But he just had too much powerful total energy to penalize him. That's why.
There are times when I'll use both the automatic and manual to verify each other. And when the same horse comes out ahead on both, there's no question. That's the one. And then the next one to it, I'll take that one too, and I'll put a win bid on it. The top two. Always. I don't do a whole lot of places or shows right now. But the two to win has been working for me just fine.
James, how do you deal with the designated place horse, if at all, in Europe?
I'm still working with that.
The question was, how do you handle the designated place horse category in Thoroughmation?
I've used that only a few times, seriously. And it works pretty well, but there's still other things about it that I don't know too well. So I'm going to keep on working with that until I master that. But I'm taking one thing at a time and doing the best I can with that. Once I get it down and I'm confident with it, then I'll move on to the next aspect, whatever it may be.
I find in Maryland that I get a 28% win rate on that one horse alone.
I'll just relay. He says he's a little more sophisticated and been around a little bit longer, but not. I don't think you aspire to be a great handicapper yourself, do you? You're kind of like he is in the sense that you just want to win. He's doing 28% with one horse on just that one readout. And how's it placing?
It places probably the same amount, 28%.
So you got a win place ratio of about 56%. That's not too bad. Question? Keep it short.
For some reason, maybe I'm looking more for the winner, and I'm not getting that counter energy horse, that place horse, and I make fewer and fewer Quinella or Zach the best because I want the winner first.
Okay, this gentleman, we've all met him. You've seen his work. He is a type A. Former car salesman type of person, and he looks for the winner. He thinks winner, and consequently, he's not having too much success finding place horse. That may be true with a lot of personalities. There's nothing wrong with the way you win, getting a $79,000 pick six. Didn't you tithe? You're supposed to tithe when you do them. You're supposed to tithe to the Perco when you get those.
Whoa. I'll give you from the other three.
Okay, without laboring this to death, read the commentary about this. We're talking about pace of the race, pace of the horse, and one breath. Look at the turn time.
Which race?
The soft race. Look on the second page over where we have the turn time pie chart. Here's a horse beaten 9 lengths. Look at its turn time. 34.01. The nearest thing to it is 33.76.
11.3 made up 6 lengths. What do you think he's going to
do? The horse was moving, and it just the move was disguised because it was beaten 9 lengths in a very fast pace. And most people won't take it. Now, I want you to look at the EXDC deceleration ratio at the top of that page. This is the most powerful numerical readout we have, no matter what the program it is. So Soft has the middle 100, the most significant 100s. The hundreds are the most significant number, of course, but where they are the most significant in races other than those that are designated tremendously early are the middle one and the third one. Glory, the place horse, has the third one. Soft, the winner, has the middle one. These are dynamite figures. Now, he has never seen any other figures but these. These are the only figures he's ever worked with. When he sees that 100, he runs to the bank. Okay, let's not bleed that one to death. Take the ninth race and tell him what he did wrong there in getting that $20 winner.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go wrong.
Was that horse 20-1 on the morning line, you say? No, I'm talking about the 8-1 shot, the ninth race.
Yeah, that was 20-1. In the newspaper, as we were going down to Indio, he said, I said, why did you go back?
That was another one. This one was started out at 6-1, went to 9-1.
It was 9-1, pardon me. On the morning line.
On the morning line.
I said, why'd you go back at a horse that's 9-1 or more? Because the pace line, because he runs well at this track, is what he's answering. I said, that's good enough for me. I'll bet too. I wrote out what I was going to say to the teller.
Well, also with that high APV, you told us the path that you can go back further on the high APV horses.
Right. Especially one that has nothing but pluses and pluses within O's except for two races. I mean, if he had one plus in life, I don't think I would have been too encouraging about him going back to that race. But the horse has a tremendous history, except for the last two races. One at Fairplex, which he didn't like, obviously.
On your kinetic generator, under MED and third, you have plus and zeros. What do they stand for?
On the ninth race you're talking about now?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to explain it to you because I wrote this in there. Look at trans in that ninth race. The pace of the race it ran against was 29. I'm taking a number to make it a plus. Anything in the 30s in this race, it would be a plus, wouldn't it? Anything under 30 would be a minus, wouldn't it? I mean, that's what you're looking at, those kind of rations. Anything over 100 in ratio would be a plus, right? Okay, look at trans. Ran against a minus or a zero pace, but was a plus against it, over 100, so there's two pluses. Look at Verd, a plus race. He ran lower than the pace of the race, so it gets a zero. Look at Chris, ran against a zero race and didn't reach a 30, so it gets a zero. Look at C's, a plus over 30 pace of the race, but he didn't run up to the pace of the race, ran beneath it. The horse he did not use because the pace line did not loom up against it, but which would have he could have got the show money on, was Jay Burns. A plus, a plus, a plus. He ran over a 30, he ran against it over a 30, and he ran it over 100. Our winner, Rash, is three pluses. He ran against a 30-plus race. He ran better than the pace of the race, which should be and he's better than 101%. This program, this pace of the race is dynamite to tell you about getting contenders. It just gives you a whole new look at the race.
Anything over a 30, you give a plus, and anything under a 30, you give a minus.
No, Asher, I didn't say that. Relative to this race, supposing they were all 32s, I wouldn't be giving a plus to a 30. Relative to this race, where 30 is high, something in the 30s is high, yes. But if it were a race where the 32 was high, then it would have to have a relationship to 32. It's just relative to the contenders in this race, there are only two or three that have enough pluses to really warrant being put in the computer. And this is what your mistake that everybody's making, is that they're putting horses in who look good visually in the racing form. They look good. And then you put them in. Look at this horse on your EXDC. Look at Verdi. 94 in the 94 at first fraction. 96. The only horse worse is Crystal. And only a 94 and a third. Nothing in the third. Crystal is, and this horse should not even be in there. Either one of them. Verdi and Crystal. You throw it out. What do you got left? Now you're down to four horses. When you see these relationships and you keep these kinds of horses in your computer and you don't scratch them, all you're doing is the thing that Jim Bradshaw has talked to everybody on the phone about. Well, my program didn't get the horse. And Jimmy said, you're putting in some wrong horses. He doesn't have to see what you're doing. He knows you're putting in some wrong horses. Because when you only put in the true contenders, you get more winners than you can shake a stick at. Any other negatives? I'd like to hear the negative. Yes, sir.
It's not that. It's the CXDC that you have here the same as you have some of the older programs.
It's very well. You can translate what you have in the older energy into the same component. Although there were zeros when they were in energy, there's zero deficiency. Whereas 100, we made it high as best in this one because a lot of people had a little difficulty with low being best. They thought it was zero. He's no good. He's got a zero. So we changed it to 100. It's essentially the same thing as in energy. Only you don't have two of them here. You have one of them that takes in the whole race. Any other negative reasons why he should have lost these races? I get letters all the time. Dick Schmidt puts races in the follow-up that somebody wins. And every time he puts a race in the follow-up, somebody wins. I get five letters saying he couldn't have won that race. And I write them back. I say, listen, it's tough enough. I get enough trouble telling people how they should have won a race that they lost without telling somebody how they should have lost a race that they won. Yes, sir. A little louder.
I just have a question.
Uh-huh.
Equine selection.
Uh-huh.
It looks to me, dealing with the equine selection name, that he's looking to see about where a horse will do well in looking at the.
Okay, let's make it fast question because I don't know if I can hear you. It looks to him like Chain is picking pace lines where the horse looks like it would be comparable to today's race and what he'd do. If he's doing that, let me tell you something. It's unconscious, isn't it?
Well, in this particular case, yeah, I did look at those similarities. But in some other race, it may be another thing I'll have to look for because there are no similarities or there are very few. I look for as many similarities to judge how that horse is going to run on this track at this distance under these conditions and go from there. So this one just said right there, same track, same distance, same conditions. Yeah, within a half. But it was there. So that was a definite reason for doing that.
What he's telling you is that he doesn't start thinking of all the things that can go wrong. He looks at something, his intuition, his insight say, this is what I should do. I don't know all these horsey stuff. I don't know about handicapping. That looms up at me. I'm going to go put that in. Instead of saying to himself, like so many of you do, yeah, but gosh, I read somewhere in Tom Ainsley 17 years ago that you should always use the last line or the more recent line, or never excuse a horse for a bad last race. He just doesn't think in terms of negatives. That's all I can say. Yes, sir.
I have a question about the three-up in the ninth grade. It's not a negative question, but it's a question that if the question by Dr. perceived advantage, it would affect my betting decision. In other words, we marked here bounty and rash, okay?
Uh-huh.
And if I was to bet two horses, I'll probably bet bounty and rash. My question, though, is how can I tell who has a perceived advantage, better advantage? And I'm saying that in the following, for the following scenario, if I could perceive the graduate a lot better than Mounting, then maybe I want to structure my bet on, let's say, one unit to win and maybe three units to play rather than betting full force.
Did everybody get the question relatively? He's talking about, he agrees that these are the two best horses, but he would have some difficulty in from the readouts in structuring his bet to which one to put the most money on. That's a very sophisticated question, which I'm afraid that Howard wouldn't answer, and frankly I can't answer, because I do not have the ability to tell you which is my top choice. I've been doing it for 17 years, and for 17 years I've been never able to designate a top choice, which is why for 17 years I have bet two horses and Dutched them according to the odds, not according to my ego perception of which one was superior to the other. And hopefully I can pass that on to him so he will never be faced with this sophisticated decision. And I wouldn't mean sarcastic, but you see what I mean? It's just a different philosophical point of view. Yes, sir?
Further along that question, though, if you go back to the EXDC deceleration ratio chart that you said was the most important printout, that would answer the question for you without any doubt.
Well, you'd have... But he's talking about structuring his bet. Would he put more on Rash or more on Bounty? The Bounty being the lower odds horse, I'd still put more on Bounty and less on Rash and 60-40. I mean, that's an unsophisticated, but that's the way I do it, and that's the way I'm teaching him to do it. Because if he starts making these sophisticated, if he tries to be a Brohammer, Brohammer's got started at 7 years of age. The kid's never going to catch up. He'd be 90. He'd be older than I am. Listen to the first thing he said. He admires these people. He thinks Brohammer's the greatest. He reads his book and read it over and over. But he said he's not trying to become a handicapper. He just wants to pick winners and make money. And that's his philosophy right now. I hope he keeps it. Any other questions? Sir.
One thing of note, it looks like he's really done his homework on his pluses and zeros.
Yes, you notice he does a plus and zero and plus within on every race. And an APV, five. Well, Shane, you want to make a big poll so he gets to get applause? Say something in rock and roll.
Okay. Rock and roll! Okay, fine. All right, well, I'm not the greatest speaker in the world, so... on that note, I'm going to turn it over to Dad here, and I'll just sit down and learn some more. All right, thanks for listening, okay?
So that's the Babes in the Wood address. And believe me, when he starts talking horses, I grab him by all that long hair of his and throw him down the stairs, because this has gone on very well for him in a consistent way of winning. Now, he brought up in the race a very, very interesting point in one of his other races, and I want to go over it with you and show you something you can do, not just with your Theromation, but with Synergism or any other program you choose to do this with, including Phase 1. We're going to look at now at the fifth race at Santa Anita on page 13. This is one of his races also. This is one of his races where you, if you're half the questioner I think you are, will say, how come he went back five races? Now, the pace line loomed up at him, but let's study this horse. Let's do what you all can do with any program. We happen to do it on the program he's using. The horse in question is Bulger. When you put them in the computer, Kells, who happened to be the place horse, comes up number one, and Bulger comes up number two off the line he used. Anticipating the fact but everyone was going to ask, hey, wait a minute, isn't this a little too precious, him going back four races, or five even? So I'll ask you to do this. We've done it for you. I've put in Bulger's entire Pace history from five straight races, and his maiden win at Santa Anita. It's on page 17. Note that Bulger's energy distribution pattern is all early. Now you look at some of those races, you say, well, he's a little early in this one, but he's pressing in that one, he's this and that one, but his energy distribution in every one of those races is early. In other words, he's distributing his energy early, regardless of his position in the race. The visual ESP has its place, but the energy ESP also has its place. This horse is a dedicated energy exertion early horse. In one, two races, he's over 70, and in these others, he is never under 69-something. Notice, if you will, in those six lines for Bulger, how consistent this horse is, how close he is to himself in every one of those lines. His total energy goes from 168-something to the low of 165, his bad race. You certainly... How many of you, looking at the 165 when all the others are over 166, how many of you would pick the 165? There are negative people in this world who would take the worst one. Believe me.
That's the Fairplex race.
That's that Fairplex race. Sure it is.
Why would you use a half-mile
track? Well, we wouldn't, but I mean, you're spoiling the suspense here. There's the one bad race. There's the one, if you use that one, you're in trouble, so you don't use that one, right? Yes, sir?
As far as I'm concerned, that's a 166 race.
Sure. It's 165.98, so you're right, it's 160. But still, it's the lowest one there. He obviously, this is not a horse to be taken off of a 5/8 mile track line. But look at the uniformity of this horse's running style and his exertion of energy in good races and bad races. The most deviant was his maiden win, which we expect to find a deviant energy pattern in the maiden win. When a horse runs this evenly, when there's that little to choose from in four out of its six lines, why not use one of the better lines? Why not go back? Now, if this horse had an irregular pattern, its irregular energy yield, up and down, early, sustained, presser, showed none of this evenness, then you would say, as Tom Brohammer said this afternoon, you would go for a more recent formful race because this horse would be erratic. But he's not erratic. This horse is very consistent. He's a consistently mediocre horse. And this is a consistently mediocre race with mediocre other horses.
There's no real earlies in the race.
That's another factor. Now look at who he's going up against. Every horse in the race is, except for the place horse, the counter energy horse, every other horse in the race is a designated early energy exerting horse. Who has the best third fraction of the energy of the early energy horses? Bulger. Shells is not an early energy horse. It's the lone non-early horse designated to be the place horse. All the others are early. One of them's a need to lead horse, which is Bile. Bio can't go all the way with a 30-33 third fraction. He's either going to get taken by Chels or Bulger before he ever gets to the point of staying on the lead. So this is very similar to Richard Werpy's analysis. Your need to lead horse can't maintain a lead throughout the race, so he's out. Now who are you down to? No Chels and Bulger.
Knowles is dying,
right. So you see, when you run every pace line, every halfway decent pace line for five, six races through the computer, and you see maybe one bad one and one not so good one, and the other four are very similar. It doesn't hurt you to go back four races or five. You could go back either four or five. Bolger comes in, would be second to Chels on any of those lines. So that there's a reason for this. And it's a logical reason, and it's a winning reason. You won't find it.